Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians and 2 Timothy were both written from prison just before he was beheaded. And so in chapter 6, he uses this word finally. And I think it means a whole lot more than just some
small wrap up.
Yeah. So in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, the question is, how are we strong in the Lord? We're gonna come back here in a minute. So go to 2 Corinthians 12. It is not expedient for me, there doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. Well, this was written 5 years before. And he's talking about, it's him that was raised up to the third heaven. He's the man, but he didn't want to say he was. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or not out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We're strong in the Lord only when we are weak in every other area. If we're strong in any one area, then we're strong in all areas. Most gladly, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, and reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, There's nothing that our minds despise more than being weak. Whether that weakness comes from illness or pain, anything. We absolutely hate it. And we do everything in our power to try to get unweak. This is why in the 23rd Psalm where he says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The rod and the staff are instruments of punishment and correction. But they comfort you if you've seen the revelation of Christ. You no longer concern yourself with self in any way. So let's go back to Ephesians. Verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So we've seen the only way to be strong is to be weak. But again, just like will worship, purposed weakness, is if it isn't real, becomes an act of will worship. It has to be finally seen, as Job did, when he saw, he said, "I heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes." That's the ultimate place of weakness. I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. This is not a message that anyone wants to hear. It can only be heard when you're tired of everything else. Well, I'm not too sure it's cherished, but at least on my part. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now we know that the high places are the places within us that represent the seven tribes of Canaan. There is nothing, and each of those seven mountains is where the whore sits. Each of those seven mountains have been purposeful once in our lives. As I've said often, you couldn't walk across the street without that high place activity. You couldn't have learned to speak without the high place. You couldn't have learned to anything without it. But once you've said, either privately or publicly, that, "Father, I'm yours without condition," then from that point forward, it is absolutely forbidden to return to the high places for anything. Even though that was the way you have comfort, the way it was worked, the way everything worked for you, you cannot return there. That's because the returning there externally was what Israel did every generation. They had peace and tranquility because there was some leader that was, whether it be a prophet or a king or judge, he preached the cross. And then what happened? Slowly but surely, they return to the high places. Anyway. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." When is the evil day? Today. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, what are all those things? We've got, first of all, the loins girt about with truth. The reason it's the loins girt about is that it's the movement of the walk, and you the loins are girt about with truth because you've tested everything that you do and think and see by, is it the truth? Does it stand? Is it changing with time, place, or circumstance? If what you're giving importance to changes with time, place, or circumstance, then your loins are not girt about with truth. Capisce? So there's part of the armor that isn't there. And any time there's a place where the armor isn't there, then it's the evil one holds sway with you. Am I communicating at all?
On the edge here.
Well, look, you understand the truth. The loins gird about with truth. The loins are what control your walk, your daily activities. Mm-hmm. They're girt about with truth so that you don't give breath to anything that isn't truth. You don't give importance to anything in time and space. So you got your loins girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Why the breastplate? Anybody? Let's go to Isaiah
59.
Yeah. This is the national corruption of Israel. Today it's the national corruption, international corruption of the church. Let's start in verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not sharp, not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Everybody wants to believe the fairy tale. Fairy tale is the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. But our iniquities and our sin has hid his face from us. That he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. they hatch cockatrice eggs. You remember what a cockatrice is?
Snake.
Yeah. Viper. Snake. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hand. Their feet. Now, do you think we're reading history? Or the condition of the church, us?
Probably the latter.
Well, it's both. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. And the thoughts, remember, iniquity, there's sin and there's iniquity. Sin is the one that does the iniquity. Because that's his tree. That's all he can do is iniquity. All he can do is think in terms of self-seeking. Amen?
Yeah. When you think of the church as a body, a self-seeking body, which is many people of the same bent, looking to gain something from God, it's not an individual. It's
a whole church.
It's a whole church.
Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there's no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and for our iniquities we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Judgment is turned away backward. Justice standeth afar off. Truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his right arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. He looked, and there was no man. Still, he's looking, and there is no man. So his own right arm has brought him the victory. His own zeruah, his own seed. We put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Now that's where this, the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness come from. So, we'll finish the chapter and then go back. put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversary, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and from his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemies shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of the seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. So all these things, the helmet of salvation, that's the mind of Christ. The breastplate of righteousness, that's your only guide. Your only, if there's the slightest doubt about righteousness, you don't do anything. Your cloud is your only, is your guide in everything. Not your cloud, the cloud. So, having on the breastplate of righteousness, verse 14, now 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, that's obvious what that means. That means every step you take, wherever you go, you've drunk from the cup of Elijah. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And the shield of faith is what protects you from your own thoughts. And finally, by ignoring the thoughts, the nerve paths stop operating. And so it becomes easier and easier and easier to ignore your mind. Finally then, in the total emptiness, is the mind of Christ. And that is the helmet of salvation. But the fiery darts of the wicked one, there's no good. All of them are fiery darts from the wicked one, therefore they're all of the evil one, no matter how good and how righteous they seem. Is that clear?
They usually come in the form of accusations. And
no, are good ideas. Or how to solve a problem. They're all the fiery darts of the evil one.
So they're not accusations?
No. I mean, that's sure, there are many of them are accusations, but many of them are something you think is good.
So accusations and other things. I just don't like it when you say no immediately when I say
that. Well, you said many of them are accusations.
Many of them are accusations. But fiery darts from the wicked that would cause you to turn inward and rather faith and the shield, they don't reach you. You're not affected by them because there's nothing in you that they connect to.
Right. No, I didn't mean to. To me, in my own experience, a very small portion of them are accusations.
Yeah.
And what most of them are what I think is thought was good.
Which would tend to lift you up.
Or solve a problem.
Yeah. You know what I saw something here while you were reading a minute ago? It's almost like world has been given over to Satan. It's his by God.
Totally.
And yet it seems like there's this effort to get back into the world system and be successful by all men. I mean, the fallen man, that what else is he going to do but try and become successful in God's name in the world? And all this stuff talks about it
What can happen?
God can't be mixed with the world.
Right.
Because it's already been...
But that's the point. That's what he's... That's why the two things Jesus said he hated are the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of Balaam. The Nicolaitans are those that preach success in the name of God.
Yeah.
And doctrine of Balaam is those that mix politics with the church.
Yeah.
So those two are the bees, but like we come to people like, you know, Victoria and Joel Osteen. I mean, I don't even know if they've ever read the Bible. I mean, they just sound, they sound like Zig Ziglar. I mean, he's a cheerleader.
Yeah.
Makes people feel good.
And it's pulling people into the world system.
In the name of God.
The whole veneer of Christ.
Right.
And what else can that be but the angel of light?
Right. Take the helmet, again, he repeats the helmet of salvation in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now remember, supplication is far greater than prayer. Supplication, you know, you've heard me say 100 times, it's putting your head in a lion's mouth, but it's more than that in terms of when we pray. It's you're willing to take whatever the problem is of the one you're praying for. If it's AIDS, you're willing to take AIDS that he might be healed. If it's demon possession, you're willing to be demon possessed that he might be healed. And that goes on for every issue. So when prayer and supplication has as that, I'm not trying to get you not to pray, but I'm trying to say that the true prayer is prayer with supplication. So when you pray for...
You know what happens there, it sounds like, is in that place there's a greater knowing that God hears.
Amen.
It becomes no doubt.
And then finally he says, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as they ought to speak. You know, it's hard to believe. He's more than likely he's writing this too from Rome, but it's before he went before the tribunal the first time in 64, early part of AD 64. And the tribunal had two stages, just like this trial for the guy in Kaufman. He's been convicted of murder, but now the second thing is the penalty. So the tribunal met first to decide guilt, and then they meet again now to decide the punishment. His punishment was beheading. But he was in Rome when all this was going on, and he's not in bonds now, according to the ancients anyway. He's living relatively good in the part of the palace area, but he's under house arrest. So let's go to one more place now. We started late, so I'm going to go a little over time. Let's go to 2 Timothy. I mean 2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. And this is now, this thing about the brightness of the Lord shall win out, that we read in Isaiah. But this is in chapter 2, starting verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know that what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Excuse me. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his presence. Now that's the promise in us. He'll destroy by the brightness of his presence. And so we've talked many times about how this, I've maintained this is easy. And others maintain it's a fight. Well, it's only a fight if you get back into it. And I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying that it's over. The warfare is over. If you still want to fight, if you'll think it's necessary, then that's you got to go through that. But the evil one, the wicked one in you, can be destroyed with the brightness of his presence. He still can raise his head from the deadly head wound again, but fundamentally, he's no longer a party to anything. He's just, unless you, by some issue, like I did the other day, several times, not just the other day, but you know, I've essentially it's all been about money for Trinity Foundation. And so, you know, every once in a while I go through this deal where, okay, now here's what we're going to do to solve the problem. Well, we've tried that. We've tried this is what we're going to do to solve the problem 100,000 times. Now, when I'm sober, I'm just simply waiting on him. But anyway, that's my weakness right now, my stupidity. But I've been able to repent of it instead. If it happens. So anyway, the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, loins girt about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And he's not just talking for apostles, he's talking for you, and this is you and I. And therein is joy unspeakable. Therein is peace. Therein is life. Amen. All right. Take a big